Basically, these are my thoughts and my emotions and my feelings about what's happened about the last few years and what's been happening in the last few months, the past of the Alliance and the future of the Alliance. And I do say this with the best intent, the best possible intent. There's no doubt that we've come a long way since we founded in 1999. Now, I want to look at the last 18 months. Firstly, reclassification. We talked about 18 months ago with a lot of positive feeling at the conference. Nothing's happened. I explained earlier how they're waiting to pass a criminal justice bill to basically undo everything that reclassification would have done. So they're going to make possession of Class C drugs arrestable offences, and they're going to give the maximum sentence of 14 years on supply of Class C drugs, which of course is going to apply to steroids as well as cannabis. So there's no change from Class B there. Steve was saying earlier that it's more or less going to be legal to smoke in your own house. It won't actually be legal to smoke in your own house. It will actually be illegal for the police to come into your house and interfere with your private activities under the Human Rights Act that's already been passed, unless you are some sort of threat to other people or their property or a threat to the environment. So if you have create any sort of reason for the police to come to your house and they come in and they find you with cannabis, they'll still nick you for it. And cultivation still comes under the general classification of production of a drug, and the production of the drug, as the law stands at the moment, is the same as the supply of the drug, which means you can get up to 14 years for growing cannabis. So maybe people won't get 14 years for growing a few plants. Maybe people won't get a jail sentence for possession in their own homes, but it will still be a criminal offence. We've got a long way to go. Colin Davis, since the last conference we had, Colin Davis has been to prison and been released. He was given, I think it was about 3 years, for his part in what they call the conspiracy, and the local press up there in Stockport labelled him a cannabis con man. And said that he was basically a drug dealer and stood well behind the decision to lock the guy up for 3 years. And he spent, I think, about 18 months of that time, much of that in agony, in strange ways, prison. Jimmy Ward has opened up the coffee shop down in Bournemouth and got arrested for it and went to court and managed to escape with a suspended sentence from the coffee shop in Bournemouth that closed down. Biz Idol has waited since before the last conference. She describes her pain as like having barbed wire dragged up and down her spine. And as I read the reply from the Scottish Executive this morning, that isn't their problem. And having been to Westminster about this, I wrote to Charles Clark, member of government, he said he can't comment because he's a member of government. The Scots say it's up to Westminster. Westminster say it's up to the judges. The judges say it's up to Westminster. We're going round in circles, spinning, much to the amusement, I should think, of the Labour Party. The cafes in Worthing have opened up and closed. They're extremely successful. They got a lot of publicity, created a fantastic spirit of brotherhood down there, I think, and also some sort of division, as is inevitable with that kind of venture, I think. It still was outside of the law. It did attract probably some sort of criminal element and some sort of element of greed. And they have basically been closed down, and we're now looking at the possibility of 2, 3, or 4 people serving prison sentences for standing up for the rest of us and our rights. Meanwhile, the number of endorsees of the LSA has doubled, so we might be thinking we've got some progress there, and we've opened up a membership scheme. We've had people leave the Labour Party and the Liberal Democrat Party to join us And I hope that we'll get people from other parties as well, including the Conservative Party. Before we can really progress with this campaign, we've got to overcome our own problems. There is a problem in this alliance, and as I say this with the best possible intention, because I want to see that problem overcome. It's an alliance of people who may not agree on non-cannabis issues. They may have different aspects of cannabis use that they wish to highlight. For instance, the medical side, like THC, the connection, THC for MS, MMTO, medical marijuana cooperative, and so on, are obviously concerned with the medical side. The religious people, Rastas, UC Hash, a local organisation that's spreading its word, they have their beliefs. We don't hear much from them. I have been asked why we don't hear much from them, my only reply is, it's up to these particular groups to come out and say what they feel about this. All I can say is that whatever a person's use is, as far as I'm concerned, we should have the right to use it. There's also people who take it purely for fun, or to enjoy or enhance music, art, and so on. But the question is, although I've explained those different aspects of cannabis use, who is going to draw the precise line between medical use and recreational use, between recreational use and spiritual or religious use, or medical use and spiritual use? Where does the environmental benefit fit in? If for instance, a person takes cannabis to get high, and they find it eases their pain, or if a medical user decides that enough is not enough, that although the pain's gone away, if one takes more, one can get high. What if one person's cure is one person's religious experience and just a high for somebody else? So what? And there's the hemp side, fuel pollution, the environmental issues. To some people, that's the most important issue of all, and they say that we don't push that side of it enough. The law gets in the way there too, because it restricts the environmental research, it restricts the experimentation with hemp fuels in England and so on. You can make plastics, you know, but you have to grow a plant to start with. The licensing conditions of growing it are so strict that it's seriously affecting that side of things as well. It's still a problem of the law. We don't hear much from people like Hempcore who grow it and turn it into paper. I heard a few years ago from Canada that the Canadian hemp people were afraid to ask for full legalisation in case they were seen as legalisers in hemp and clothing. Even though they want legalisation, they said they can't ask for it because then they won't get the licence to grow it to use for their environmental purposes. The medical side, Dr. Guy, Dr. Notcut down in James Paget, is part of the research into the medical uses. They're afraid to come out and stand in front of everybody and say, let's legalise this plant, in case they're seen as some kind of pro-drug movement. Well, of course they are pro-drug movement, but they're pro-licensed drugs. They're not allowed to be pro-plant in case they lose their licence. But surely use is use, and the legal issue is the same, whatever that use is. So maybe we should just start rubbing out those lines and just all concentrate on one thing, removing cannabis from the Misuse of Drugs Act. Whatever it's doing in the Misuse of Drugs Act, the plants, you know. Can you imagine going back 200 years and saying to our great-great-great-great-grannies who used to take this bit of herb out of the garden and make tea out of it, which they did, it was extremely common. Can you imagine telling them that that plant was one day going to be banned as a drug? And they look in the dictionary and they see a drug, it's some sort of concoction, poisonous. It's about the stress that people suffer. I suffer from stress just from running this campaign. It's hard work, it's every day. It's every day of the week. I do take a break sometimes, but my phone can ring any day of the week. I get extremely stressed out when people say they're going to do something and they're not going to do it. But fortunately, I can have a little bowl and I can relax. Dr. Anne Biesenach, she was prosecuted in 1992 for providing cannabis to her daughter. Cannabis, the plant, not any sort of weird extract or concoction. And she was taken to court and she was found not guilty. The British medical people said that if she pleaded guilty, they'd sack her and struggle off the register. But if she pleaded not guilty, even if she was found guilty, they might keep her on. So she went and she defended herself, the barrister in 1992 or so, and she was found not guilty. And she's been a very powerful supporter ever since. She's getting on in years now, so she's not able to travel. But she's quietly providing expert witnesses in the trial and stuff like that. And she said to me, the cannabis relieves the stress that comes about from campaigning to get it legalised. Our obstacle, pigs is our obstacle. Does that make sense? Pigs is our obstacle. I'm not talking about police, I'm talking about P-I-G-S. P is paranoia and persecution. There's supposed to be 7 million smokers out there. You know, there's a heck of a lot of them. They're too paranoid to even put their face up above the water. And James was telling me up there in Glasgow, you know, people are too paranoid to even go and vote for legalised cannabis or even propose it and nominate a candidate. Fear of persecution. The professionals, like I was saying, Dr. Notcutt, you know, some of the MPs, some of the editors and journalists, authors, pop stars. Pop stars aren't allowed to say too much because their agent gets in the way and they might have their contract destroyed. All those people, they're frightened of simply talking, simply telling the truth. They're frightened of telling the truth because Big Brother in the background.
I was talking to some people from Star Trek, when they gave me the name, you know, Star from Star Trek, that believe in legalisation, that they're scared of saying.
Yeah, I've heard Paul Finn MP, Ian Gibson MP, I've heard them say, well, we agree with you. Rosie Boycott, when she was on The Independent, oh, I agree with legalisation, but I can't come out and say that. You know, other people, there was a woman called, I forget her name, but she was on a television programme years ago that Tina was on, The Warehouse, and she was from an organisation called Mothers Against Drugs, MAD. And she was like so anti-cannabis, and she called the people who were pro-cannabis like people from the gutter. You know, disgusting people, go away. And after the programme, she said to him, oh, I don't mind somebody having a joint, but I can't say that on the television. I went to a programme, The O'Brien Show, and the subject of cannabis came up. And he was like neutral. I thought he was anti-cannabis. You know, and after the show, we were in the dressing room. Howard Marks was there, and we were in the dressing room as guests afterwards. And he came up and said, do you know where I can score in Norwich? Ignorance and indifference. The vast majority of people out there still don't know what we're talking about. When we say hemp for fuel, free medicine, free fuel, human rights, the right to smoke dope in your own house, you know, they never even heard of the LCA. They're ignorant of us. They would support us if they knew, but they're so cast out of society. They don't read the newspapers, they don't watch the news, because most of the newspapers and the news, let's face it, is bullshit anyway. We don't know what to believe. You know, these people, they're running their lives, they've got problems of their own. A leaflet comes through the door, maybe at election time they get a leaflet through the door, stuck in the middle of the other leaflets, and they all go in the bin. They don't even know where we exist. And then there's those who know we exist but don't give a damn anyway, because all they want to do is enjoy their life and live it for the moment. Well, good luck to those people, but that's one of the problems we have to overcome. We have to make people realise that this is a matter that concerns them. Every young person is going to get old. Every older person who suffers from a disease was once young. A lot of those people didn't have that disease. Unfortunately, I'm getting on in years, so I don't know the rest of my life. I say I'm not a medical user, but I might be. I might be one day. You know, lots of things can happen. People can have accidents. They can fall over and suddenly they've got spinal problems. Just like that, one day to the next. It doesn't matter whether the person has got it, the illness or the injury, or whether they're going to get it. You know, the only difference is urgency. But it's an urgency that just goes on year after year after year. It's urgent for all these people. In 50 years' time, if we don't change it, it's going to be urgent for all those people. And somewhere in between, maybe all those indifferent people who turn around and say, I don't really care. You know, it doesn't really affect me. I smoke dope anyway. I do. When I want to smoke it, I smoke it. I don't blow it in policemen's faces. I refuse to smoke it for the cameras. I'm not an actor. I'm not a performer. You know, but if I want to smoke it, I can find where to get it. You don't have to struggle. You know, it's quite easy to get. You know, and it's quite easy to smoke. So I could turn around and say, it don't make any difference to me. But in fact, it won't make any difference to me whatsoever if they open a coffee shop up in Norwich. I don't really care. You know, but if I go to Bristol, I'd like to be able to go to a coffee shop, or Coventry, or Manchester, or anywhere else. And so I would like a coffee shop in Norwich for people who come to Norwich to go to. So I'm not that indifferent, but a lot of people are. Pigs, G. Greed. Greedy dealers. Drug dealers. Industry. They make profit out of fossil fuels. They sell their souls, they sell the world, they sell us. They make profit out of plastics. They make profit out of pharmaceutical drugs that people have to take under some sort of blackmail because they're now going to start putting bans on all sorts of medicinal herbs. The Chinese, you know, herbs and stuff like that. A lot of them may be banned. St. John's Wort, they're talking about banning it. Why? Not because it's dangerous, but because people use it and don't buy their drugs. The alcohol people, the tobacco industry, you know, convince these people they can make money out of legalisation, they'll soon change their tune. And the cannabis dealers, right, who realise, of course, if you grow a kilo of weed, you know, you can make $3,000 or $4,000 easily. You know, but if you import a kilo of weed, you can make a couple of grand easily. And then maybe they're worried that if it's legalised, the price will fall out to the market. But one of the best things I heard, right, and I remember, I had to go up to Lancaster University to do a speech. And fortunately, I lost my voice because I had the flu or pneumonia or something. And Mark Gibson had to come along and speak. He did the speech. And at the end of it, somebody said, how much is cannabis worth? And he said, nothing. It's not, and I thought, yeah, that's right. It's not worth nothing. It's a plant. It shouldn't be worth anything. You should be able to grow it in your garden, pick it. You know, maybe swap it with the neighbour for some tomatoes or carrots or, you know, the labour involved with growing it maybe deserves some sort of reward. And obviously people will make a profit. But the stuff itself, you know, up until 1925, it wasn't worth anything. Pigs squabbling. Now this is an interesting one because there's a lot of squabbling going on. There always has been. Now, we're an alliance. You know, it's quite a diverse selection of people. Not just in this room, but the other, I think, 2,200 endorsees who aren't able to be here or aren't interested or whatever because they're not all committed activists. The other members who aren't here, the politicians who aren't here, the people who get there now and again and spout off in Parliament or in the newspapers about legalising cannabis, and yet they don't come and join the Legalised Cannabis Alliance, which is what we're about. They come, they spurt up like a you know, gas flame, and all of a sudden they're there and they're gone again. An alliance is not just about who we like. Some of the people we'll like, and some of the people we don't like. Some people will like everybody, and some people won't like anyone. But alliance is not about people that we like. It's not about what other issues we agree on. It's not about whether we agree on the euro or the politics, or it's not about whether we've all got the same religion or lifestyle. It's not a personality contest. It's not an ego contest. It's not about the level of education. Some people are educated, they've got degrees. Some people haven't got any education. My belief is that the people, we should listen to the people who haven't got any education, because they talk on such a simple level. I've got education, I make it too complicated, I've babbled on for too long. It's nothing to do with age, it's nothing to do with greed, it's nothing to do with medical condition, it's not anything else to do with legalising cannabis. And if we're not going to work with people that we like, but that we don't like, I mean, if we're going to say, well, we can't work together because we don't like, well, isn't that a bit of a cop-out? Isn't that a bit of, like, kind of easy, you know, to have an alliance with your friends? I mean, you need to have an alliance with your enemies. That's what an alliance is. If I turned around and I said, I've only got to work with people that I like, I don't like any of you. It's as easy as that. My life would be so much easier, you know. I'm not doing it for people I like. I'm doing it because I believe it's right to do it. I don't even know if we're going to legalise cannabis. I'm just doing it because the law is wrong. That saying that they used to have, there's no I in team. Well, it applies. There is no I in team. An alliance is supposed to bridge those differences. The thing is that my job in the alliance is a bit kind of self-appointed. When we formed the political party, which was all done at a bit of a rush, and somebody had to sort of coordinate it all. So we formed an executive, I become the nominating officer, which means that I sign a form for people to stand at elections, authorise them to use a party name and emblem. There's no authority. I do not have any authority. Nobody on the executive has any authority. We're there to do what you want us to do. And my job is try to coordinate what you want us to do. And I'm doing it because I don't see anybody else that wants to do it at the moment. So I call myself National Coordinator at the time, because it sort of suited the party to have for me to have a title, so that when the newspapers say, well, who are you? And I say, nominating officer. And they go, nominal what? You know, they don't know what you're talking about. They understand national coordinator. So, but that doesn't make me a messenger boy, passing messages between people who don't like each other or can't talk to each other. And it doesn't make me a bridge builder either. My job isn't to get people who don't like each other to start liking each other. I'm here to try and coordinate the activities of individual activists and campaigners, and to try to help everybody to work together, but I'm not here to try to force everybody to work together. I can't do that until we start to put many of our differences aside and work together. Now, I have to deal with a guy in the local authority sometimes, and I don't like him. I don't know whether he likes me, I don't really care, right? I call him Mr. Thompson, because that's his name. I don't call him Danny. You know, if he was my mate, I'd call him Danny. So if you can't work with somebody in the alliance, if you don't like them, just call them Mr. or Mrs. Just be polite, just regard them as somebody you need to work with. And get over those differences, and forget arguing about those differences, and forget all this like backbiting, you know, that I got hurt, you know, because of this, or somebody said that, or somebody did this. I've had it for 18 months. The reason why I'm telling you is I've had it for 18 months. I get in on the phone. After the last conference, I had somebody ringing me up, telling me what happened in somebody else's house while he was in Norwich. I don't want to know all that. And that particular person, some of us know who he is, he went off to cause untold sort of trouble with other people. And all I've heard is he's probably locked up. It's probably a bloody good job. The other thing is that I don't want to do is chase people up when people say, I'm going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to send you some donations to a raffle. No, they don't come. I've got to chase them up. I don't want to have to chase people up. I don't want to force anyone to do anything they don't want to do, and I don't want to force anybody to do anything they can't do. All I want to do is see people do what they say they're going to do. And then it would make life so much easier when people simply do what they say they're going to do. Or at least put your best bloody effort into it. Even if you think you can't do it, try. That's all we can do, is try. We need to make this party as effective as possible, and that's why I'm asking for cooperation, working together, and not instead of wasting energy and arguing about things we're never going to agree on. And I ask everybody, wake up and go back home to your communities and get people and get on the email and write letters and tell people, wake up, wake up. This is not a game. This is about life and death. This is a matter of urgency. I've seen on the news the other day that only 6% of our energy is derived from green sources. And that includes wind turbines and everything else. It's urgent for our descendants, our children's children's children. It's urgent for the sick and dying and people in pain that could be eased. And it's essential for the sake of honesty, decency, human rights, to enable people to practice their chosen religions and lifestyles with the protection of the law and not the threat from the law, unless they threaten or harm someone else or their property. I started talking about Colin and Jimmy and Biz and Chris and Worthy. Just remember, every day we're passing without legalisation, people are suffering, dying, losing their freedom and social status, getting ripped off with bad dope, getting exposed to crack bar soap and bad weed as well as hard drugs. Just remember, every day we're forced to continue to use polluting fossil fuels, plastics and dioxins and so on. And just remember that things are getting worse day by day by day, and it might take 5 weeks to undo the damage that they can do in one day. Our last conference was 18 months ago, and we thought we had a general election in 3 years. Even if that date turns out to be true, we've only got 18 months. Earlier this year we devised a plan and we set a target of enough candidates in the next general election to get our own cannabis party broadcast on TV. We have the party, we have the means to win politically, we have the will, we've issued our challenge. And as I said earlier, it isn't, to my mind, a matter of persuading politicians anymore. It's a matter of replacing them and getting rid of them and replacing them with common, decent people. All of you in this room are common, decent people. I don't mean common in the derogatory sense. I mean we're ordinary people. We should be running this country. We should be making the policies, not based upon profit and greed and big industry, but based upon what's right. And I'm sure we all know what's right. We've set our target. We can't achieve that target with even 20 of us. We need people to go home. We need people to find candidates in their own communities. And if you really can't find a candidate, you did have 3 years. You've now got about 18 months to raise about £1,200. That's still not a lot of money based on a weekly amount. Get the money together, and when there's a general election, we'll find a candidate. We need to start doing this straight away. We need to wake up and do it now. And it's not up to Don to spend his whole life on the phone, and it's not up to the executive, and it's not up to a few dozen candidates. It's up to everybody in this room, because nobody else is in this room. Nobody else is here to hear this. Nobody else is able to even come to a conference. It's up to us to do it. And I say all that, like I said, not with any sort of bad intention, not to cause any bad feelings, but just to say, you know, I personally feel that this is of the utmost urgency, and we have to get over all of our problems, because one thing that we have in our favour, somebody might say God, somebody might say right is on our side. However you say it, right in terms of correctness, we are right, they are wrong. Do you want to win? Do you want to lose? Do you want somebody to win for you? Do you want to help in the background? Do you want to go up front? Do you want to be involved or don't be involved? This is an alliance. After the next general election, where's the alliance going to go? We don't know. To me, the next general election, politically, is our big shot. The local elections next year is a good time to stand, because not only will you get known in your communities, you'll get respected by the press, they'll come to you for press interviews, you'll start to get known, you'll win votes, and you'll put the jeepers up all the other candidates at the next election. You see what's just happened in Brent, you know, a safe Labour seat went to a Lib Dems. What we want is the safe seat. Don't care whose seat it is, we want the safe seat. We want it. The LCA, the first LCA councillor, the first deposit we get returned at the general election. We won. Because as Don said earlier, politicians, what are they interested in? You know? They're interested in votes. That's their job. You know? We've got the power to sack them. What are we going to do about it?
Sack them.
Sack them. Get rid of them. Right? Replace them. Find new people. And I just wish with all my heart that every person here can go and find 10 people to pass on the message, and ask them to pass the message on to 10 people. If you can't find 10, find 2. You know, 2 times 2 times 2. You know that little thing about the chessboard? If you put 2 grains of rice on the first square, and you double it on the next square, and you double that on the next square, you know, you'll never get to square 64. I mean, you won't even get the rice on the 10th square. When you get to square 64, not only is it more grains of rice there are in the world, there's more, that number is greater than all the grains of sand in the world. That is terrific. You tell 2 people by 2 people by 2 people to vote, legalise cannabis. Get off your arse once in your lifetime between 7:30 in the morning and 9:00 at night. Go to a polling booth, put your cross there, vote for an LCA candidate. If you don't, well, what are you talking about? You know? Get arrested. And it's up to us to get that message across. So, add my rant. Thank you.